Bringing you Monday Motivation, Life by Design sets you on a path to discover your purpose. Share in the life journey of our guests from around Africa who live their lives by purpose.
Hello and welcome to Life by Design on Channel Africa, the African perspective. My name is Amanda Machaga. On Life by Design, we inspire purpose by speaking to people from around the continent who live a life of purpose. They share their journey on how they discovered what they were meant to do, and we do this with the hope of inspiring you to live your life by design as well. We come to you every Monday morning, bringing you a dose of Monday motivation on Channel 802 on the DSTV audio bouquet, also available on podcast and via live stream on our website. It's www.channelafrica.co.za. We are also available on social media on Facebook. It is Living Life by Design, Twitter at @living_LBD, and on Instagram it's @living_lifebydesign. And you can also follow the station on social media. It's @ChannelAfrica1 on Twitter and @ChannelAfricaRadio on Instagram, and it is Channel Africa on Facebook. And on the show this week, we are joined by Prudence Katunasa from Kitwe in Zambia. Katunasa is a businesswoman with a background in banking. She studied business management and accountancy and found herself in the world of politics, where she was publicity secretary and later on secretary for the Patriotic Front Women's League South Africa. She joins us on the line to tell us more. Welcome to Life by Design on Channel Africa, Prudence, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us, how was life growing up in Kitwe in Zambia?
So I was born in 1975 in Kitwe on the 23rd of November. And life was good, I must say, growing up, because my dad was a chartered accountant, was working for the mines. He was actually the first black Zambian man to work in the offices of the Zambia Consolidated Copper Mines. So it was a great achievement. And we lived a good life, I must say.
Mm-hmm. And did you look up to him? I mean, for someone who's such an achiever, I can imagine that the kids wanted to be like dad. Was that the case for you?
Yeah, my dad had a motto of sweat before sweet. And he encouraged all of us to work hard for the life that we want and not necessarily live the life that he has, or he had. To offer us. So he wanted us to be movers and shakers on our own and make lives for ourselves.
So for someone who's been taught like that, what did you then aspire for yourself to do?
It was difficult because I'm the firstborn. I'm the firstborn from a family of five kids, one guy, four ladies, but one of whom has passed away in 2019. So being a firstborn, you have to be like a role model for everybody else, and you're pushed to be the best. So for me, it was kind of difficult because everything that I did, I had to think about my siblings coming behind me as the firstborn. And I didn't really have a mentor. I didn't have a mentor growing up. I didn't have someone that I could go to and say, okay, what do you think I should do? Or someone to guide me as such. I didn't really have someone besides my parents. But my dad was an accountant, like I said. So that's how I ended up even studying accountancy, because he influenced me to do accountancy, but it wasn't really my dream to be an accountant. I wasn't really mathematically inclined, but I did. I went to the college, but I never really pursued it further. I found that I'm better in the marketing field than in the accountancy field.
Now, you found yourself in banking. When I was introducing you, I said you have a banking background. How were you introduced in that field?
Well, there was an advert that was in the paper, and they were looking for people to go and work in the bank. And I applied, and I managed to begin to become a banker. I worked there for like 4 years, Then I was studying at the same time.
And you were studying what, marketing, or was it the time that you were studying accountancy?
I actually stopped working for the bank and then I went into accountancy. I went and I began to study accountancy because even the banking career was not really something that I wanted to do. So I just wanted to get a job, begin to earn my own money. And then I went into college. Like I said, my dad influenced me. He said, no, why don't you go into accountancy? It's something that is there. It will be there for a long time. Every business needs an accountant. Every company needs an accountant. So it is something that is a lifetime career as well. And he encouraged me to go into it, but it wasn't really something that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. So at this time, you had done banking and you realized it's not something that you wanted to do, and your father advises you to do accountancy, still not something that you wanted to do. At that time, Did you know exactly what you wanted to do and perhaps didn't have the courage to pursue it, or were you still trying to figure out what is it that you wanted to do?
At that time, I was young. I was like in my early 20s, and I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do, because what happens in Zambia is when you matriculate, at that time, when you were matriculating, I don't know how the system works now, but when you were matriculating that time, you were given options, three choices of what you wanted to study at the two universities. Long ago, we only had two universities. We had the Copperbelt University and the University of Zambia in Lusaka. But now there are more and more universities in Zambia. So you had a choice to either go to UNSA or to go to CBU. And I had chosen psychology for some reason. I wanted to be a psychologist, but my grades were not good enough for me to get into medical school. So when I saw that I didn't make it into medical school, that is when now I had to start thinking of something else to do. And that's the reason why I found myself in accountancy and I found myself being a banker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does answer the question. And now you also dabbled in politics. You got into politics. Was this later on in your life? Had you already known now what is it that you want to do? And how were you introduced to politics?
Okay, that was later on when I'd already gotten married. I got married in the year 2000. And my then boyfriend, who became my husband, had already moved to South Africa because he is a pilot by profession. And so he wanted to come to South Africa. And because the aviation industry wasn't doing well in the 90s, and the time when he had graduated, the Zambia Airways had been liquidated. So he had to find a way of using his piloting career. So he was advised to come to South Africa and try and get in. But then there was so much red tape that he couldn't get his license, his flying license in South Africa. So he began to explore other stuff. So later on, after all the events, I'm becoming a mom and all that, that is when I entered into politics. What happened was there was a time when they were voting for a branch in South Africa. They were voting for a branch committee, and I was invited to go and participate in voting in the new committee. So there were candidates that put up their names who thought that they could represent the ruling party here in South Africa, because there's a good number of Zambians living in the diaspora, and the ruling party wanted to get some support from outside Zambia as well, from Zambians living in the diaspora. So I went there to participate in voting. But 2 weeks later, I was called and I was told that I was asked if I was interested in taking up the position of publicity secretary or secretary of the Women's League. And I was like, wow, how did that happen? Why did they choose me? But I took up the challenge. I read the party manifesto, I read the constitution of the party, and it was something that resonated with me, something that was something that I saw as an opportunity to use that platform to be able to uplift my fellow Zambian women in the diaspora and also back home in Zambia. And I agreed to be publicity secretary. Then later on, one of the ladies resigned, and then that's how I became the secretary of the Women's League, which was a very big position for me to take up.
And then, at what point in your life was marketing introduced?
Marketing was introduced about the same time as I went into politics. I went into politics, I think, in 2016. I'd actually been running away from the idea of becoming a politician. But I guess God always knows the plans that he has for you. And during the time that I became active in politics, I was introduced to a company that is a multi-level marketing company selling health, beauty, and wellness products. And it was at a time when I had been retrenched from my normal 9-to-5 job, and I had nothing that I'd been doing. And so I was introduced to this company to become a network marketer. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
All right, we'll talk more about what you've been doing in network marketing after this short break. Stay on the line.
In the quest to find meaning from the ancient cosmic knowledge and meta-science, its connection with the knowledge capital shaping the African mind, we explore the uncharted African brain from the Dagon people to the Zulus. From the Maasai to the Yoruba people, join Sir Max, a knowledge premier, every Friday, 8 a.m. Central African Time, as he trots the continent to assemble Africa's top minds, from political to corporate and spiritual leaders, from scholars to rebels, from cutting-edge literature to disruptors, from scientists to athletes. Masterclass Africa is about leadership, indigenous wisdom dissemination, and consciousness that must drive the agenda of the African continent and the diaspora. Masterclass Africa, a show not to be missed, only on Channel Africa Radio.
Building Africa with love. Hujambo, Africa. If there are holes in this continental ship, we are its children. Let us go and stop the holes. Let us gladly do it with our hearts. And if we cannot, then let us die. We will make a plug of our brains and put them into the ship, but condemn it never. Nguvu wakwatu, upenduni nguvu. Catch us on Channel Africa from 10 to 11 a.m. every Friday, and Sundays from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Inspirational stories from ordinary people living extraordinary lives. It's Life by Design.
It is Life by Design on Channel Africa, the African perspective, and the inspirational person that you're speaking to this Monday morning is Prudence Katunasa, who is a native of Zambia living in Johannesburg, South Africa. Welcome back to Life by Design, Prudence, and thank you once again for joining us. Now, before the break, you were telling us how you were introduced to network marketing after you had lost your job. What job were you doing, and how did you take the news, and how did you get the courage to pick yourself up and try something new? I'm asking because this could help someone perhaps who is despondent. Maybe they've just lost their job. We know how the economic climate has been. So how were you able to navigate that space and still pick yourself up and try something new?
I was employed in the informal sector, and I worked for a company that was selling lingerie. And then after that, I worked for a company that was called the Fragrance Counter, where we were selling original branded fragrances. And it was a good experience because I met a lot of South African celebrities like the late Blue Makeva and the late Simba from Top Billing and so on and so forth. It was a good experience for me. And that is where I was working before I got retrenched. The company shut down, and the owner decided that they don't want to be in that space anymore. They had been in the perfume industry for so many years, and he wanted to do something else. So I got retrenched, and then I stayed at home. And when I was retrenched, I thought, I've been working for years now, and I've missed out with my children growing up. So I decided that I'm just going to take like a year off work. But in that year, I fell ill. I fell quite ill, and it was challenging for me. And in that moment, a friend of mine had joined the company that I do marketing for, and that is Longreach Bioscience International. And she invited me to a presentation. And when I heard the compensation plan and how everything works, I decided to jump on board, because at least this was something that I could do while I saw my children growing up, and I could go to events now without being the last person appearing at any event. Sometimes a friend would call me to weddings, and I'll be there like when they've done the whole thing, and then I'm walking into the wedding at the very last minute. So Longreach helped me to free up more time, and it's something that you can do while you're at home, and you work your own hours as well, and you're able to make commission. But that's a story for another day. It took me a long time to explain how the whole thing works, but I'm sure anyone who's interested can get in touch with me
to know more. Right. To know more, yeah. And I guess also when you're in this space that you are in, network marketing, you need to be very creative, be a thinker on how you will grow your business, because it really relies on you. And that brings me to the question of you starting, creating an online masterclass called Charge Me Up. Like, how did you even think about such? And is it important for someone who is network marketing to always be, you know, trying to improve on what they're doing so that they can grow even more?
Okay, in the network marketing career, you know, like we say, when you join Longreach or any other network marketing company, you don't really need any experience. You don't need to have some kind of school certificate. Even if you went up to grade 7, you can come into the network marketing space. And there are different people join for different reasons, but the number one reason is financial freedom. So one day, you know, during the pandemic, I noticed that my sales had gone down. The sales of my team had gone down, and my commission was also decreasing monthly, weekly. And I was like, how am I going to survive? Because this is now become my source of income. So one day I was reading a book, because I love to read books, and it was a book called How Millionaires Think. I've forgotten the name of the author. So in that book, they were telling us how millionaires think and how they plan and strategize, how they make money. And they had all these plans and strategies in the book. So I thought to myself, why can't I share this knowledge with my fellow distributors? Maybe they can be empowered, just as I'm being empowered by reading this book. So I thought about it, and then I said, why can't I do like a masterclass? And normally in network marketing, it takes 90 days for you to see any results on anything. If you are persistent in doing whatever you're doing, you see results within 90 days. So I said, why can't I do a masterclass for 90 days and do it for my team? So I ran an ad, and I told my daughter about it, and my daughter encouraged me. She said, no, Mom, I think you can do it. So I ran an ad on all my social media platforms, and initially I thought I would just have like a group of 50, 100. Then I ended up having 500 people from all over Africa joining into my WhatsApp groups. One group filled up within one day, and people were telling me, Prudence, this group is full. Could you please create another one? And I was like, how can I manage two WhatsApp groups at the same time? But I went ahead, I opened another WhatsApp group, and that one also filled quickly. Within 5 days, I had 500 people wanting to learn from me, and it was a great challenge. It was a challenge because it's something that I'd never, ever done before, but I challenged myself to be creative and to do something that has never been done before. I've never heard of anyone that has done a 90-day masterclass nonstop, as in I did it every single night. Whether there was load shedding or there was no load shedding, I did it. because I knew that I was impacting somebody's life. Someone was going to be encouraged. And at the end of the masterclass, everybody came back and just showered praises on me, and I was so humbled. Nobody complained. The only complaint I received was, "You're too soft spoken. Could you please speak a little bit louder?" That's the only
well, that you can't really change.
I got. Yeah, that's the only criticism I got, that my voice was too soft. But otherwise, they loved the content, and I created content every single day. I mean, I went into this thing blindly. I've never taught in my life, apart from Bible class at church with two little kids. And there I was now being a business coach to 500 people that I've never seen in my life.
Across Africa. That's a huge one. And then did that also turn into you growing some of your legs in your business? I know that, you know, with Long Reach, you have to have certain legs that are growing and all of that. Did you get some people from, you know, the candidates that were part of the masterclass? Did it translate to some success in the business?
Actually, the ones that joined, most of them were part of my team already. Most of them. And then some of them, they belonged to other teams.
Then you have a huge team. Wow. I'm saying then you have a huge team.
Yes, I do have a huge team. Yes, I do.
Amazing.
So they were encouraged. They actually said, Prudence, had actually given up. We were saying, we're not going to do this anymore. It's not working. You know, after the COVID-19 pandemic, we've been hit by this. We don't have money. We lost our jobs. But because of the masterclass, they were encouraged to continue on their network marketing journey.
Awesome,
man. So for me, that was an achievement. And that is what I wanted to achieve, to encourage people to continue pursuing their dreams and not to shelve them just because a pandemic hit, just because they were hit by a curveball.
Right. Yes. That's amazing. Now, you have been given a number of opportunities that are completely different, like from banking and politics, network marketing, and recently the media space. You have been introduced to that space. How did this come about? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes. You know, when you're doing something, you never know who's watching you, who's reading what you have written on social media. There's always those silent people that are watching. They could be enemies or they could be friends. You know, so the owner of Hype magazine realized that I have got some kind of communication skills. And you must remember that I was also publicity secretary for the Patriotic Front, which it's no longer in government now, but at that time, when I was publicity secretary, I had to do a lot of media releases, press releases. And there was even a time I had to write a speech for a visiting minister, which was like very, very eye-opening for me. I had to write a speech for a minister. And so I know that I do have excellent communication skills. So this gentleman, or the owner of Hype magazine, saw that in me and decided to give me a go at writing for his publication.
That's great. And now, I know that your faith is very important to you. Why is that?
Well, in life, you know, there are so many challenges that we face, and so many mountains. And I have found that there's only one thing that is constant in my life, or one person that is constant in my life, and that is God. Without God, I wouldn't have made it in a foreign land. Without God, I wouldn't have had all these opportunities presented, like literally on a silver platter. If you look at my life, most of the things were like just given to me. But I think also it's important to connect to God, because when you connect with God, He positions you for opportunities that will help you in life, that will help you to overcome obstacles. Because as a human being, we face a lot of obstacles. And the only way that you can overcome is by putting your trust in one who is greater than yourself, and that is God.
Well put. Now, looking at all the things that you have been through in life, that you have been offered, that God brought your way, summing up your life purpose, what would you say it is?
My life purpose. I think my life purpose is to uplift others as I am being uplifted.
I like that. Simple. Uplift others as I have been uplifted. And you continue to do that through the different platforms that you have been given.
Yes.
Awesome. So how can people get in touch with you, Prudence? Those who'd like to know more about network marketing and any other area really that they could relate to that you've shared about, where do they get in touch with you?
They can find me on Facebook. On Facebook, we are, the Facebook page is The Long Reach Guru, in G-R-U, The Long Reach Guru. Or they can just send me a message on my personal Facebook page, which is Prudence Katunasa. They can find me on LinkedIn as well as Instagram.
As Prudence Katunasa.
Prudence Katunasa.
All right. Thank you so much, Prudence. And any last words of encouragement to someone who might be on the brink of giving up on whatever it is that they were trying and it's not going well, what would you say to them?
I would say to them that they need to believe in themselves. Believe in yourself. You are a creative. You're able to do anything if you put your mind to it. You must not give up. As long as you're breathing, you have an opportunity to make something out of your life.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for those words of encouragement, words of wisdom, and wish you everything of the best in what you are doing. And I look forward to reading some of your work in Hype Magazine.
Thank you so much.
That's Prudence Katunasa, as you've heard, that she's a network marketer, and she's also now joined the media space where she's writing articles for Hype Magazine. And if you'd like to know more about what she does, she is the Long Reach Guru on Facebook. You can join that group and get to know more about what she does as a network marketer, or else you can follow her on her personal page, Prudence Katunasa, also on LinkedIn, Prudence Katunasa, and then on Instagram as well, at Prudence Katunasa.